So if you have your Bibles open to 1 Samuel chapter 12, let's begin reading here. And again, we see that all this has led up to the fact that they chose them a king. The last chapter, we saw how when Saul heard about the situation with Jabesh Gilead and Naash coming up against them, that he responded and he sent the oxen out, cut up, and he told all the Israelites, if you don't come and help us here, this is what we're going to do to your cattle. And of course, he rallied the troops. They went in. I think there was 330,000. And they had the victory of the battle. So that's a good thing. And again, through that, Samuel came back and said, okay, we're going to renew the kingdom. And he did that at the end of chapter 11. So chapter 12 says, and Samuel said unto all Israel, behold, I have hearkened unto your voice and all that ye said unto me, and have made a king over you. Now again, remember, these chapters are something man has put in. It was not originally like this. So it's a continuation of chapter 11 where he was renewing the kingdom. So all of this is part of that, okay? And verse 2 it says, and now behold, the king walketh before you, and I am old, gray-headed, and behold, my sons are with you, and I have walked before you from my childhood unto this day. Behold, here I am, okay? Witness against me before the Lord and before his anointed, whose ox have I taken? Or whose ass have I taken? Or whom have I defrauded? Whom have I oppressed? Or of whose hand have I received any bribe to blind mine eyes therewith? And I will restore it to you. Restore it you. And they said, thou hast not defrauded us, nor oppressed us, neither hast thou taken aught of any man's hand. And he said unto them, the Lord is witness against you, and his anointed is witness this day, that ye have not found aught in my hand. And they answered, he is witness. And Samuel said unto the people, it is the Lord that advanced Moses and Aaron, and that brought your fathers up out of the land of Egypt. Now therefore, stand still, that I may reason with you before the Lord of all the righteous acts of the Lord, which he did to you and to your fathers. When Jacob was come into Egypt, and your fathers cried unto the Lord, then the Lord sent Moses and Aaron, which brought forth your fathers out of Egypt, and made them dwell in this place. And when they forgot the Lord their God, he sold them into the hand of Sisera, captain of the host of Hazor, and into the hand of the Philistines, and into the hand of the king of Moab, and they fought against them. And they cried unto the Lord and said, we have sinned because we have forsaken the Lord, and have served Balaam and Ashtaroth. But now deliver us out of the hand of our enemies, and we will serve thee. And the Lord sent Jerubbabel and Bedan and Jephthah and Samuel, and delivered you out of the hand of your enemies on every side, and ye dwell safe. Verse 12. And when ye saw that Naash, the king of the children of Ammon, came against you, ye said unto me, nay, but a king shall reign over us, when the Lord your God was your king. Now therefore, behold the king whom ye have chosen, and whom ye have desired, and behold, the Lord has set a king over you. If ye will fear the Lord, and serve him, and obey his voice, and not rebel against the commandment of the Lord, then shall both ye and also the king that reigneth over you continue following the Lord your God. But if ye will not obey the voice of the Lord, but rebel against the commandment of the Lord, then shall the hand of the Lord be against you as it was against your fathers. Now therefore stand and see this great thing which the Lord will do before you, before your eyes. Is it not wheat harvest today? I will call on the Lord, and he shall send thunder and rain, that ye may perceive and see that your wickedness is great, which ye have done in the sight of the Lord in asking you a king. So Samuel called unto the Lord, and the Lord sent thunder and rain that day. And all the people greatly feared the Lord and Samuel. And all the people said unto Samuel, pray for thy servants unto the Lord thy God, that we die not. For we have added unto all our sins this evil to ask us a king. And Samuel said unto the people, fear not, ye have done all this wickedness, yet turn not aside from following the Lord, but serve the Lord with all your heart, and turn ye not aside, for then should ye go after vain things which cannot profit nor deliver, for they are vain. For the Lord will not forsake his people for his great name's sake, because it hath pleased the Lord to make you his people. Moreover, as for me, God forbid that I should sin against the Lord in ceasing to pray for you, but I will teach you the good and the right way. Only fear the Lord and serve him in truth with all your heart, for consider how great things he hath done for you. But if ye shall still do wickedly, ye shall be consumed, both ye and your king. Let's pray. Father, again, we do thank you for your admonition. We look at this and we see that you are a great God. You're a God that loves us and cares for us. And if it weren't so, then you wouldn't care what we did, how we lived, what happened to our lives. But we know better. And Father, we just are so grateful that you love us so much that you sent your Son to die on the cross. And you've given us something to help us to live this life you've called us to live. It's called the Spirit of God. And Father, we just are so grateful that we have this help and this power and this strength. And we know that, as Paul stated, I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me, that we too have this same power available to us. Father, I pray now that you guide and direct as we look at this time in Samuel's life and the things that were going on in Israel. Well, thank you for it now in Jesus' name. Amen. So right here we see that Samuel is resigning. Now, he's reluctant to do this. He wants to really be the prophet that God's called him to be. God put him in this position. But the people, we know a couple chapters before this, they decided that as they saw Samuel getting older and saw his son's wickedness, that they wanted a king for themselves. And they said, like the other nations. This is what happens when we, as well, accept the world's philosophy. And that's exactly what Israel was doing. They were accepting the world's philosophy and the world's direction. Who is the prince of the power of the air? Who is leading the world? It is Satan. So Israel actually turned away from God and turned to Satan. Samuel was distraught, as we remembered. And remember, God comforted him. And do you remember what God said? What did God tell Samuel? That's right. They didn't reject Samuel. They were rejecting God. And again, that's something we need to understand and take to heart, because when we are out and about and sharing the gospel in the Spirit of God, okay, they're really not rejecting us. They're rejecting God. And let me also say this, is understand the times that we live in today. They're not the times that 30 years ago or 40 years ago where people had an understanding of who God was. Today we live in a society that people have no idea who God is. And if you mention God to them, they're probably going to think, well, is it Buddha or is it Confucius or is it some other God? Because they don't have the concept that as America was founded on the God of Israel, the God Almighty, the principles, they don't have that foundation anymore. We've removed it completely from our society. That's why when I was trying to witness to a young man one time and he says, oh, I don't believe the Bible, and I asked him, have you ever read it? He said, no. He has no concept or foundation. Why? Because they've told him already that this isn't true. And this is where we're raising our children today, and our grandchildren are in this situation where the world will not understand these things, and they have to be taught. They have to be taught. So anyway, Samuel, he's reluctant, and that was all extra. He's reluctant in this situation. He knows that he's done, and so he shares that. And of course, the nation of Israel, as we see, and he talks about the judges on through this chapter, but the judges had ruled for about 500 years. And remember how that goes. I think it was seven cycles. I can't remember right off the top of my head, but when Israel cried out, hey, God provided somebody for them. When Israel thought they were on the top of the mountain, things were going good, they turned around and rejected God and did their own thing. And then when they got low enough where they didn't have any help, they cried out to God again. That was the cycle that they lived in. Today, many of us live in that same cycle. When things are going good, we don't read our Bibles. We don't pray to God. We don't come to church. We don't need to. Why? Because things are going good. At least that's what we think. And then we find ourselves in a position where we need to cry out to God again, and maybe we get things right. We can change that and not make it so cyclic, if you will. In other words, get it a little bit more of a steady state. Don't let ourselves be doing this all the time, but at least, because we're going to do it. It's going to happen. It just doesn't have to happen as much. So anyway, the judges have been ruling for all these years, and so they rejected Samuel. They wanted a king. Look at verse 3. It says, "Behold, here I am." Does that ring a bell to anybody? Remember Samuel early on? What did he say? Now, he didn't say this necessarily, but what was he doing? Remember what happened? Lord's calling out to him, and what did Samuel think? Do you remember? He thought it was Eli, and so what did he go? That's right, and he said, "Here am I," right? And Eli said, "Well, I didn't call you. Go back to bed." Did that three times, and then Eli, who was apart from God, wasn't walking close to God, he realized, hey, that's the Lord call, so next time, Lord, speak, okay, and for thy servant heareth, or whatever. And so he did. But here he's again saying, "Here I am." He's standing before the people, and what he's trying to do as the people, he wants the people to understand and know that he has not done anything wrong, and them to agree to that. And so he says, "Hey, have I stolen anything from anybody? If I have, I'll give it back. I'll give you whatever." And so he says, he's going through this whole list of things, or these few things. He says, "Have I taken anything? Have I done anything wrong?" And the people said, "No, you've never defrauded us." And then he made it clear that they understood that they were confirming this in front of God himself and the anointed, which was the king, King Saul. And they agreed and said, "Yes, we know and we are witness." In fact, the verse 5 says, and they answered, "He is witness," talking specifically about God in this sense. So here he told him, or confirmed the fact that he never did anything wrong in the eyes of the children of Israel. And he wanted to make sure that was right, because he knew that he was no longer going to be the one they come to as the leader of Israel. Okay? Because now they have a king and his name is Saul. So he confirms that. And so we see Samuel, he's a man of integrity. He's somebody that God put in that position. He was somebody that God allowed to lead Israel. He was somebody that God had never decided to take him out of that position. It was the people who rejected him. And that's important, again, to think about when we are in situations where we might reject somebody or something. Make sure that you are being led by the Lord and not by your own emotions or feelings or philosophies. Okay? That's important. And here Samuel is, he's coming off the scene as the leader. He's still going to be around, we're going to see. But look at verse 6. He says, "And Samuel said unto the people, It is the Lord that advanced Moses and Aaron and brought your fathers up out of the land of Egypt. Now therefore stand still, that I may reason with you before the Lord for of all the righteous acts of the Lord, which he did to you and to your fathers." So he's going to remind the children of Israel what God has done in their lives. And again, this is important because we need to be reminded too. That's why I wanted to encourage you to give testimonies of how things have occurred in your life. I was encouraged to hear Tina talk about some simple things that she prayed about and God answered. Because that's where we need to be, on that level with God. Even the simple things, we need to be seeking His face and His direction and asking Him to give us wisdom. And when we do that, that demonstrates that we really believe that God is in control of our lives. And that's what God wants, is to know that He's there for us and He's going to take care of us. And He will do that very thing. So here he told them the Lord had lifted up Moses and Aaron. He also said and made this statement, and it's clear, it was the Lord that advanced them out of Egypt. Moses didn't do it and Aaron didn't do it. It was God who did it. Again, that's a reminder for us of a testimony. When we do give testimony, remember that it's not about you and what you have done or what I have done. It is what God has done through us. It is what God has allowed us to accomplish, or what God has demonstrated in our lives. It's all about Him. He's the one that provides the strength, the wisdom, the leadership, and helps us to accomplish the things we do. And sometimes we forget that and we leave that away. So here we see that he's talking about this. He's rehearsing this in their mind. He's trying to help them to show some things. He said he was going to reason with them. That word reason is shafat. in the Hebrew, it means to pronounce sentence, okay? And so he's telling them that it is all before the Lord. And so he's starting out and he's going to recall some things that God has done, some miraculous events in their lives. In verse 8, he says, "When Jacob was come into Egypt, and your fathers cried unto the Lord, then the Lord sent Moses and Aaron, which brought forth your fathers out of Egypt, and made them dwell in this place." That was a miraculous event that occurred. If we go back and just look at that history and how that all happened, God could have just, the first time Moses went up to Pharaoh, God could have said, "Okay, tell Pharaoh you're leaving, and that's all there is." He didn't do that, though. He allowed Moses to go up, and actually he was humiliated in front of the Israelite people the first time. You remember what happened when he went up and he took his rod, threw it down, and stuck his hand, all that? Remember what happened? What was the result of that? That's right, but what's the result of the Israelites? What happened to them? What was it? No straw, and still produced the bricks. So they had to go out and get their own straw. It wouldn't be provided for them no more. The people murmured against Moses, right? They were upset. But yet Moses, God kept him, and he was following God. He kept on doing what God told him to do. And it was 10 plagues that they went through before they were let go. Why would he do that? Why would he stretch it out for so many days or however long that took to release him when God could have just done like this and let him go? Why? Because he's trying to teach some people some things. He's trying to teach Israel that God will do what he says, but he's also trying to teach the world that he is God. He did both of those things, and that was a miraculous delivery. Remember when they left not empty-handed. They spoiled the Egyptians. They left with their gold and their jewels and all that with them, and then they went, and remember, even time after time they got in trouble, God delivered them. The Red Sea, the bitter water, all these things that took place, God was there leading them and fighting their battles for them. And that's what Samuel is trying to rehearse in the children of Israel so they would remember. We need to do that as well. That's why we come to this place we call Calvary Bible Church, is to be reminded of these things so we can understand who God is and put in application the fact that God is the one who will lead us and guide us and protect us in all the situations we go through. In verse 9 he says, "And when they forgot the Lord, their God." What's he saying? He said, if we make this personal, when you forget the Lord God, which I have strayed away from God. There have been times. He says, when you forget, some things happen. Let's look what he says. He says, he sold them into the hand of Sisera. In other words, there was chastisement on the Israelites. And God told them that in Deuteronomy chapter 28 and 30 through 30, that, hey, if you will follow me, I will bless you. If you do not, there will be nations that come up against you. Did Israel ever learn that? Has Israel learned it yet? No, they haven't, have they? You go back, that's why the Babylonian captivity took place. That's why the Assyrian captivity took place. That's why today they're still fighting those nations around them that are trying to annihilate them and destroy them. But God still got their hand on them. It's because they're his chosen people. And that same principle holds true for us today. God's got his hand on our lives, and he's going to protect us. That's why I believe in my heart of hearts that I'm not going to pass off this scene until God says, "Bruce, I'm done. It's time for you to come home." It ain't going to happen before that. Now, I may not be healthy. I may have struggles in my life, and some of that is brought on because of sin. Some of it's brought on because God is trying to train me or teach me to do something else and move on. And so we have to try to learn those things, and that's what, as we grow in Christ and as the more we surrender to him, walking the steps that God has ordered for us, we will have greater understanding of what God is doing in our lives when things come into our lives. A lot of people never move from the first or second step. They get saved, and they just hover there. Why? Because they're not willing to step in faith and say, "Okay, God, you got everything. You got my finances, you got my time, you got my life, whatever you want to do. They're not willing to do that yet. And so they stay right where they're at. And they maybe take baby steps, but they're really not going to grow and find out what the other end or closer to God means, because it's hard for them to let go. To let go of their philosophies, to let go of their emotions, their feelings, let go of what the world has taught us. And everybody in this room has been taught by the world. We all went to the state-run schools, did we not? Or most of us. older folks. And they taught us how to live. They taught us the morality, or tried to. We were blessed, most of us, in the fact that we were there early enough that we still were in a time when there was a morality in our public schools. Kids don't have that today. So he's just telling them, says, when you forgot the Lord, this is what happened to you. I allowed Hazor to come in, Sisera, the captain of the host of Hazor, into the land of and then the Philistines, and into the hand of the King Moab, and they fought against him. These were three different incidents that occurred because they were not following God. And every time they turned from God, these things happened to them. In Judges chapter 4, verses 1 through 2, I'll just read. It says, and the children of Israel again did evil in the sight of the Lord when Ehud was dead. He was a judge at that time. When they cried out, God gave him that judge. And then when he was dead, they turned from God. It says, and the Lord sold them into the hand of Jabin, king of Canaan, that reigned in Hazor. The captain of the host was Sisera, which dwelt in Hasareth of the Gentiles. So here he's just reminding them or rehearsing to them what happened in the past. They were sold in the hand of the Philistines in Judges chapter 10. And Jair died. He was a judge and was buried in Chemon. And the children of Israel did evil again in the sight of the Lord and served Balaam and Ashtaroth and the gods of Syria and the gods of Zidon and the gods of Moab and the gods of the children of Ammon and the gods of the Philistines and forsook the Lord and served not him. And the anger of the Lord was hot against Israel, and he sold them into the hands of the Philistines, into the hands of the children of Ammon. And so then again, the Moabs, Judges chapter 3, says, and the land had rest 40 years, and Othniel, again a judge, the son of Kenaz, died, and the children of Israel did evil again in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord strengthened Eglon, the king of Moab, against Israel, because they had done evil in the sight of the Lord. So he's just rehearsing to them what had already taken place, the history. We could go back and look at the history of our lives. If we were really tuned in what we did, and we don't forget like I do so often, I can forget what happened 2 weeks ago, it seems like. But if we could go back and rehearse that history in our lives, we would find out the times we were obedient to God, we were blessed. And the times we weren't, there was chastisement. And the problem, at least in my life, I find myself forgetting those things. And when you forget, you repeat history over and over and over again. And that's exactly what the children of Israel have done. They keep forgetting, and that's what he said, you forgot or forgot the Lord. This is what happened. And verse 10, he says, and they cried unto the Lord and said, we have sinned because we have forsaken the Lord and have served Balaam and Ashtaroth, but now deliver us out of the hand of our enemies, and we will serve thee. So he's reminding them, says, remember, you got in these situations, and then what'd you do? You cried out to the Lord. You got down on your knees and you said, Lord, we need you. We need your help. When's the last time you've been on your knees in prayer? When's the last time you bowed down to God? You know, it's funny, and this is true. When you get to heaven, you're not going to just be on your knees. Did you know that? You're going to drop down to your knees and you're going to get like this. And this is the way you're going to be. You're going to be prostrate. We ought to practice some of that some now. Why? Because that's what we're going to be doing in heaven. We're going to get so low because we know he's so great. But the fact is, they cried out unto the Lord and said, we have sinned. When's the last time you said that? When's the last time I've said that? God, I have sinned. I'm not saying you have to say it out into the world to hear you, but we ought to be close enough to walking with God that we can realize when we have and say so. Admit to it, because when we admit to it and cry out to God, that's when our lives can be transformed. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That is a wonderful place to be. And that's what Samuel is reminding them. You did this very thing. And then verse 11, he says, and the Lord sent Zerubbabel and Bedan and Japheth and Samuel. Who are these men? These were all judges. In the book of Judges. Now, Bedan, I'm not sure who he is. Some think he was Barak. Okay, Barak. I don't know that. It doesn't tell me that anywhere. But I do know the others were judges, including Samuel, for Israel. And God sent them to help heal Israel and put them back on the right track. When you study the book of Kings, and hopefully we will, you're going to see time and time when one of those good kings got in, one of the first things he did most often was destroy all the wickedness. He removed it. And that's something we need to be cognizant of, is that when there's things in our lives, sometimes we just have to remove it. Why? Because we're addicted. The flesh is addicted to the world. Because the flesh is sinful. It's followers of Satan. And when we give into it, we're followers of Satan. And so we have to remove things from our lives so we can go back and get right with God and look to God and trust Him for all these things that He has given to us in our lives. So He reminds them, I sent these guys to help you, especially when you were in these dire situations. And they came in and they actually helped. Wow, we run out of time here. Helped them. And so he goes on and he says in verse 12, and when you saw that Naash, the king of the children of Ammon, came against you, he said unto me, nay, but a king shall reign over us when the Lord your God was your king. Now he's reminding them at this particular point that you have just changed directions. You're no longer looking to God's prophet, to God's man, but now you're looking to the world's devices and you're choosing what the world has to offer, which is a king, and I'm going to let you have him. That's what God said. I'm going to let you have what you want. And he did. And that's what Samuel is sharing with them through the rest of this passage. He's talking about this. But you see, even though we do wrong, God still loves us. And that's what Samuel's reminding them. Look at verse 14. He says, if ye will fear the Lord and serve him and obey his voice and not rebel against the commandment of the Lord, then shall both ye and also the king that reigneth over you continue following the Lord your God. He said, even though you've done something that's not right, if you will look to God, he will still bless you. He will still keep you on the right path. But you have to look to him. But he goes back and he warns them. Why does he do this? Because that's what God does for us as well. That's what Jesus has done over the years that he walked with us. He gave warnings of these things. That's what Paul did in most of the epistles he wrote. He gave warnings. Why? Because he knows our nature. He knew his nature. And so he would tell us about the blessings of God, and just as Samuel has, but he will also come back and say, but watch out. Verse 15, but if you will not obey the voice of the Lord, but rebel against the commandment of the Lord, then shall the hand of the Lord be against you as it was against your fathers. Again, the history's there. And he said, just like it was before, it will be again if you will choose this. And today we all have that choice to make. We're going to close right here. There's more to it. We'll finish it up next week. But the key that we need to understand is we're going through these Old Testament books and seeing these things. There are principles in the Word of God, precepts here. As we see these, they're not just stories. There's something there for us to learn. And here we can look and see exactly the thing for us to learn is to stay close to God. Watch out for your philosophies that you've been taught. Watch out for Satan. He's very destructive. Watch out for the world, because the world will be subtle and mislead you. He's saying, look to God. And the only way you can do that is by being in the Word of God. Walking down the street and going, I hope God tells me something today, is not going to work if you don't go and find out where He speaks. And that's important. We all need to do that. Let's pray. Father, again, we do thank you for your love for us. We thank you for the Word of God. And we pray now that you would just guide and direct in our lives. Thank you for giving us the Bible. For the Bible reminds us over and over again who you are, and it reminds us how much you love us. And Father, it also helps us to understand the things that you would want us to do. Father, help each one of us in the Spirit of God to be obedient in these things. We'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.